You may not have caught The Princess Bride in the theater back when it came out. Most people didn't, but there's a good chance that you've seen it on videotape or DVD since then.
After a slow start, The Princess Bride has picked up steam and gone on to be recognized as a favorite classic movie. The film is part fairy tale, part love story, part comedy, and it's got an all-star cast. It features Mandy Patinkin, Billy Crystal, Christopher Guest, and Robin Wright, and it was directed by Rob Reiner.
Here's a moment from the movie with future Princess Buttercup falling in love with farm boy Wesley.
Farm boy, fill these with water. Please.
As you wish.
That day, she was amazed to discover that when he was saying, as you wish, what he meant was, I love you.
That was Cary Elwes as Wesley, also known as the Man in Black. When he landed that role, Elwes had no idea how the part would change his career and his life. He wrote about the making of the movie in his memoir, As You Wish, Inconceivable Tales from the Making of The Princess Bride.
And with 2017 marking 30 years since the film's release, we thought it was a good time to revisit an interview we did with Cary Elwes in 2015, just before he was coming to Wisconsin for a book event.
Cary, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
We're a couple of years past the 25th anniversary of The Princess Bride. How does it feel to be the guy who brought to life The Man in Black and what's now clearly one of the classic movies of our time?
Well, it's an extraordinary feeling, I must say. I think I can speak for everyone involved in the film when I say how blessed we feel that the film has now taken off and become so beloved, you know?
Well, take us to that first meet and greet with Rob Reiner when you knew you were up for this part of Wesley. What happened?
Well, I was in Berlin, Rob, at the time. I was shooting an independent film in Berlin, and I got a call from my agent at my hotel, and she said, Rob Reiner and his producing partner, Andy Scheinman, are planning on flying to Berlin to meet with you to discuss the role of Wesley in The Princess Bride. Now, I knew obviously, I knew who Rob was from All in the Family and Spinal Tap. But I also knew about The Princess Bride because I read the book when I was 13 and loved it. So I knew what a big deal it was for me. It would be my first big American movie, although it was shot in England. And I adored Rob. I mean, I don't know about you, but I thought Spinal Tap was absolutely brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
And so... I was very hopeful, obviously, and very fortunate that we hit it off right away. And the rest is history, as they say.
It almost didn't happen, though, right? That meeting, because they were jittery about Chernobyl, which had just happened recently.
That's right, Veronica. You're right. You're absolutely right. So while I was shooting in Finland, actually, that's when Chernobyl happened, and there was a warning by the State Department and by the authorities that it would be unwise, I think was the word they used, to fly to anywhere in Europe or Eastern Europe at that time. We were only 800 miles away when we were shooting in Finland from the site where it happened. But luckily for me, Rob and Andy decided to brave the elements and come and see me anyway. So, yes. Fortunately, they came. They might not have, and therefore I might not be sitting here talking to you right now. So, very fortunate.
You ended up there. You had this amazing cast assembled. What was the first read-through like in the room with Mandy Patinkin, Robin Wright, Christopher Guest, and everybody?
It was great. It really was. Andre, who was at first turned down the role because he was very insecure about his English accent, he has a very strong French accent, but Rob convinced him by telling him he would put all his dialogue down on cassette tape and gave these tapes to Andre, who showed up in rehearsals with a little tiny Walkman, which looked even tinier on the headset. It looked like tiny little toothpicks, little peanuts in his ear, and he learned his lines phonetically from listening to Rob do all his dialogue. So it was extraordinary. We knew then and there, even just the table read, that there was something kind of fun going on. I'll never forget, during rehearsals, Mandy during the sequence where he is discovered by Andre drunk in the forest by the Brute Squad. He actually slaps Andre during rehearsal. And I don't think anyone's ever slapped Andre in the face before. And there was sort of a stunned silence in the room of people thinking, oh my gosh, what's going to happen now? And Andre laughed. For him, it was like feeling a tiny insect bite or something, you know. But yeah, we had an amazing time. I wrote the book really as a love letter to the fans, because myself and the rest of the cast always get asked, was it as much fun making the film as it looked? And I wanted to share with them just how much fun we really did have making it.
It sounds like that there was some friendly rivalry at play between you and Mandy Patinkin, who played Inigo Montoya. How did that play out when you were training for those amazing sword fight sequences?
Well, Mandy, when I first met him, after the read-through, we all went and had lunch together, and I sat next to him and said, so have you had any training in you know, fencing or anything like that? And he said, no. So I took him at his word, but I, you know, when I showed up at for the first rehearsals for our fencing sequence, he was already left-handed. And I said, wait a minute. I don't think this guy's being totally honest with you. It turns out he'd spent 2 months training in Connecticut with one of the best fencers on the East Coast, so that he was already prepared to disarm me on the first day of rehearsal. So I had a lot of catching up to do.
So you were starting, I always assumed when I saw that movie, you both came into this with serious stage combat experience. No, we find out.
None,
so what was the training regimen like to get up to this amazing scene? Yeah. So how did it take to get from 0 to 60 and film one of the most memorable sword sequences in movies?
Thank you for asking. It was eight hours, 5 days a week in pre-production. And then once we started shooting, our trainers, who were wonderful trainers, Bob Anderson, who was an Olympic fencer for Britain in the 50s, and Peter Diamond, who they both worked on all the Star Wars films. They did all the lightsaber sequences. They were just off camera with swords in their hands. And every time Rob yelled cut, they would just grab us and we'd work sequence, you know. So we really worked very, very hard at it. It was pretty much took up most of our time while we were shooting.
And it wasn't easy. I mean, you may have expected that, you know, it's fight choreography, it has to just look good, but it sounds like it was incredibly grueling. I mean, there was, you learned some real skills. You didn't become a master swordsman, but you learned some stuff.
No, we sure did. Well, our trainers told us that we had to learn each other's parts as well. So we didn't just learn our own sequence, we had to learn our opponent's sequence as well. And the reason for that, they said, was that there was less chance of an accident happening on the set if you knew your opponent's moves as well. So I had to learn all my moves right-handed and left-handed, and then I had to learn all of Mandy's moves right-handed and left-handed. So it was double the workload. So yeah, we we had our work cut out for us, that's for sure.
Well, with all of that, the most dangerous sword moment for you in the movie was Christopher Guest bumping you on the head with the handle of a sword.
That is correct. Poor Chris. He felt so bad about it. We had real swords on the set. We didn't have any stunt doubles. And by that, I mean, for those folks listening, that a stunt double sword is a rubber one where you can, and it's painted to match the original, and so they use it for stabbing and things like that. Well, this sequence, he was supposed to knock me out in that moment in the forest where I question his six fingers, and he just hits me with the butt of his sword. Well, we didn't have a standby prop sword that day, and every take that he did, the camera operator, after cut, would turn to Rob and say, you know, we're not selling it, it's not looking real. And so me and my big mouth, I opened it and said to Chris, why don't you just tap me lightly? Famous last words. Yeah, why don't you just tap me lightly and see how that looks? And I woke up in the hospital. You know, so that shot that's in the movie of him knocking me out is actually me passing out from
wow.
God bless, and Chris hitting me with the butt of a sword. So,
did he feel guilty afterwards?
Oh, terribly, terribly guilty. And what was so funny is that the doctor in the hospital, I had to go to the hospital, obviously, in full makeup, and I was in my costume. And when I came to, the doctor said to me, you're very accident-prone, aren't you, Zorro? And And so, you know, it was a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun. We really did. There was some clumsy moments on my part, but for the most part, we really had a great time.
Well, we can't let you go without talking some about William Goldman, who wrote the book and the script. And he, it sounds like, was really invested in the outcome of this. He really cared about this. Why was The Princess Bride so precious to him?
I know. It seems extraordinary in hindsight when you look at the body of work of this incredible writer. I mean, this is the man who brought us Marathon Man, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, All the President's Men. And yet this is his favorite book. It's his favorite script. Favorite movie now of his work. And the reason for that is that he conceived of the idea for his daughters. He was on a road trip to California with his two little girls in the back of the car. And he asked each of them, he said, I'm going to write a book for you guys. What do you guys want it to be about? And one daughter said princesses and the other said bride. So it was a very personal, it was a personal film, a personal story for him, yeah? And he was terribly nervous. The first day he came down to the set, the first day shoot we had was the fire swamp where I'm putting the fire out on Buttercup's dress. And he missed the safety meeting and the whole thing. He arrived late and had no idea what we were shooting. And after Robin's dress caught fire, he forgot what was going on. And he yelled out in the middle of the take, oh, my gosh, she's on fire. Robin Wright is on fire, and he used words I can't use on the radio, and Rob yelled cut and turned to him and went, Bill, she's supposed to catch fire. You wrote it in the last 9 drafts of the script, even in the book. You know, I mean, he was mortified, poor guy, and removed himself from the set immediately. But he was deeply, deeply invested in the film, and stayed for half the shoot, which he normally doesn't do. He doesn't like to be around to shoot.
Before we let you go, Princess Bride is a heavily quotable movie. Reports this year that Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers quotes Princess Bride all the time in the locker room. Is there a favorite line or two that's just become part of your built-in vocabulary?
Yes. Let me just say this, by the way. After meeting Aaron and finding out what a fan he was of the film, I became an instant Green Bay fan myself, obviously, and lost as many fingernails as many folks did a few weeks ago. And I got to tell you, he's an incredibly wonderful human being and obviously an extraordinary talent. And we'll get him next time, guys. We'll get him next time, that's for sure. Yes. It's one of those incredible films that it has probably one of the more quotable lines than up there with Casablanca and Wizard of Oz. It's really extraordinary, and that's a testament to Goldman's writing. I have it easy. I always have, you know, women ask me to say those 3 words, which I always comply with, but Wally Shawn has it tough. You know, if he misses an elevator or something, someone yells at him inconceivable. he gets it almost every day, you know.
Thank you, Carrie, so much for joining us, and I hope you enjoy your trip to Wisconsin.
I can't wait, and I really appreciate it. I was hoping that this would happen while Green Bay was playing at Lambeau Field so I could come out there and watch a game. But I'm happy at least to come and be a cheesehead in the land of cheeseheads. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
That was an interview with actor Cary Elwes from 2015 when he was visiting Wisconsin to promote his memoir, As You Wish, Inconceivable Tales from the Making of The Princess Bride. 2017 marks the 30th anniversary of the film's release.
Coming up, we look at a new study on body cameras worn by police showing little to no effect when it comes to the behavior of officers or complaints by citizens. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network.